kid. Just another whisper if you please. Don't worry about the details, darling. You got the kind of mind I love to read. Talk is cheap and baby, time's expensive. So why waste another minute more? Life's too short to be so apprehensive. Love's as much as empty. Somebody whispered, ooh, ooh. Oh, baby, I can feel this feeling. Everything that you do gives me. It's been too long since somebody whispered.
News. I'm Michelle Franzen. A Michigan judge sentenced Jennifer and James Crumbly, the parents of convicted Oxford High School shooter Ethan Crumbly, to 10 to 15 years in prison. They're the first parents of a mass shooter to be convicted of involuntary manslaughter. ABC's Trevor Ault is in Pontiac.
This is clearly in the judge's eyes, not just a historic conviction, but also a correct conviction. And we heard her detail why she felt these parents were so irresponsible in buying that weapon and celebrating that they had purchased a weapon for their son as he was showing all these red flags for his mental health, failing to secure the gun. She accused Jennifer Crumbly of being apathetic to her son and how her son's mental health and failing to take him from home from school that very morning.
The Arizona Supreme Court upholding a 160-year-old abortion ban that could shutter abortion clinics in the state. That ruling also imposing a 14-day stay on enforcement. This is ABC News. Just a day before a major lawsuit against Tesla was set to go to trial, the electric vehicle manufacturer has settled.
The case goes back to the 2018 death of Walter Huang, an Apple engineer who was killed behind the wheel of a Tesla Model X after the vehicle's autopilot system drove the SUV into a barrier at over 70 miles per hour. A National Transportation Safety Board investigation found Huang was likely on his phone at the time of the crash. After recently winning several cases over its autopilot system, Tesla has opted to settle this one. The terms of the settlement were not disclosed. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Autopilot is a driver assistance system, but Tesla says it requires active driver supervision. Louisiana is a step closer to passing an immigration bill similar to the law in Texas. The GOP-controlled Senate has advanced a bill that would allow state and local law enforcement to arrest people who are in the U.S. illegally. It now heads to the House. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Yet more dismembered body parts are found in a Milwaukee neighborhood. Monday, Milwaukee police said more human remains had been located Sunday in the area on the city's west side, where remains were spotted Friday and Saturday. It's the fourth such report since last week Tuesday, when a human leg was discovered at a Cudahy Park. Police took a person of interest into custody following that incident. Authorities aren't saying if the finds of the remains are related, nor are they linking the discoveries to the disappearance of 19-year-old Sade Robinson, who was reported missing to Milwaukee police April 1st. Governor Tony Evers vetoes a bill that would have allowed younger teens to work without permits.
The Republican-authored measure would have eliminated a requirement for 14- and 15-year-olds to obtain work permits. In Madison on Monday, Evers told the Wisconsin State Council of Machinists that it would have rolled back child labor protections, removed parental notifications, and undermined child labor law enforcement. And he said it wasn't a serious proposal to address Wisconsin's workforce challenges, as Republicans had maintained. This is the 189th bill the Democratic governor has vetoed. That's 22 more than any other governor in state history. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
President Joe Biden has a new plan to reduce student loan debt. During remarks Monday at Madison College, Biden said it'll target those in most need of relief.
The ability for working and middle-class folks to repay their student loans has become so burdensome that a lot can't repay it for even decades after being in school.
A previous plan to send $20,000 to all student loan borrowers was rejected by the conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court. The White House is hoping the new smaller-scale plan will be reenacted. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
How do you measure the human spirit? In pounds? In milliliters? In the distance traveled between yesterday and today? Or maybe there's no way to measure the human spirit, because as you remind us every day, it simply has no limit. Learn more about how we care for your whole body, mind, and spirit at AdventHealth.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny today and mild as high temperatures climb into the low 60s. It gets even better than that for tomorrow. Abundant sunshine and highs soaring to flirting with near 70. Enjoy it because rain rolls in by Thursday and temperatures cool some. One call to Tax Solutions Now will solve all of your IRS problems. 1-800-281-8193. Currently, it's 52.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Renewable Fuels Association, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right, Davis. Yeah, here we are on the day after the eclipse.
Mm-hmm. Back on the bright side of the moon, you might say.
Right, right. I understand that on social media, some people are just trying to get, I shouldn't even say some people, most people are just trying to get clicks. So it doesn't matter what they say questions that they ask. Uh-huh. All they're trying to do is get people to find out or to click through. Mm-hmm. But the level of misunderstanding about what a solar eclipse is, including to the point that somebody on The View is saying to the rest of the world, I think it's got something to do with climate change.
What? Are you? Now you're fiddling around there.
Seriously?
No, that's just irresponsible. That's just irresponsible.
It's uneducated. Let's go down that path, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only did we know when this eclipse was going to happen, like 1,000 years ago.
Galileo knew. I don't know if he knew or not, but he could have figured it out.
We know when the next infinite number of eclipses are going to happen. And why? And why? Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Yeah. Holy smokes, people.
Get it together, people.
Please. Please.
You know, the Pink Floyd finally stopped the eclipse was over. Yeah, the birds started chirping and the neighbors got quiet. It's the darndest thing.
Yeah. You know, I think the strange behavior of the wildlife around the Flory Ranch continued on through the evening.
Oh, it wasn't just during the eclipse?
No.
Uh-huh.
No. Deer hung out in strange places. Uh-huh. Turkey did the same thing. The wood ducks were hopping around and buzzing around like I haven't seen them do that for a while. It was weird.
Yeah, I can tell you this, and I'm coming as a college educator. I mean, I took weather at the college level, okay?
Yes, you did.
With the animal behavior like that, sounds like a classic case of global warming, Chip, on those animals.
Do you think?
It's got to be.
Climate change got to have something to do with that.
Yeah.
It's got to.
Well, it's the animals that suffer.
Could you get us to the news?
I could start with the weather if you're interested. Severe thunderstorms are expected to produce several tornadoes. Now, let's get serious here. Severe thunderstorms, potentially tornadoes, significant large hail, and damaging winds across most of Texas toward the lower Mississippi Valley through Wednesday morning and across the Gulf Coast states on Wednesday. Heavy to excessive rainfall may lead to flash urban, small stream, and minor to moderate river flooding. Chip, look out for those severe thunderstorms.
Yeah, there are warnings already in place and tornado watch. I shouldn't have said warnings. Tornado watches already in place down in Central Texas. Maybe one warning down there. There is in place in Central Texas, but the system makes its way all the way through Arkansas, Northern Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky. It's making its way to the East Coast again.
Well, I've got some export demand to report here. Private exporters reported sales of 124,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations. This during the 23-24 marketing year. 124,000, Chip.
Yeah, good to get some demand in on these beans. No question about it after the price setback that we've had to deal with.
I got some crop progress report highlights. This, as of the weekend at April 7th. Winter wheat was 56% good to excellent, unchanged from the previous week, 6% headed. So that's slightly above the five-year average. Corn, already 3% planted, Chip. That's ahead of the 2% average pace. Spring wheat, 3% planted, on par with the average. And cotton, 5% planted, just a point behind 6% on average this time on the five-year average.
Yeah, here we go. Things just getting started, and got a long ways to go before we put the final seed in the ground, don't we?
Yeah, indeed. Well, South American crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier cut his Argentine corn crop estimate by 2 million metric tons, noting heavy insect and disease pressure. Dr. C left his Argentine soybean crop forecast, as well as his forecast for both Brazilian crops, unchanged from the prior week. Key Senate Republicans from the Ag Committee today will introduce a new bill aimed at improving the affordability of crop insurance. This is in opposition to Senate Democrats' approach on the same issue. The bill, called the Farmer Act, and led by Senators Hoeven and Boozman, aims to make crop insurance more accessible without mandating producers to opt out of other risk management programs. That's the key feature right there. Doesn't mandate producers to opt out of other risk management programs, as I understand it.
Right. Right, and I believe you are correct on that, yes.
Well, investors are waiting for March's Consumer Price Index report tomorrow as the latest gauge on inflation. CPI is expected to show an increase of 0.3% from last month, but analysts expect that core CPI, which strips out the volatile food and fuel price fluctuations, could cool to 3.7% from 3.8%. Crude oil says, hold my beer, Chip.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Crude oil, WTI trading lower here this morning, but we're still above $85 a barrel in that crude oil market, and I don't think anybody out there would call that cheap, and it's going to have an impact on our summer fuel prices across the Midwest as well. So there's lots of things that we can do to make that fuel supply cheaper. Just don't know if we're going to have the opportunity to do it or not.
Yeah. Well, gold prices posted a record high for an eighth consecutive day overnight on support from speculative buying and geopolitical tensions. Traders are waiting for the Fed monetary policy meeting minutes and U.S. consumer inflation data tomorrow for fresh signals on the path of interest rates, which appears it will be higher for longer. The federal budget deficit in the first 6 months of fiscal 24 ending in March reached $1.064 trillion, that's trillion with a T, according to the Congressional Budget Office. While tax revenue increased by 7% from the previous year to $2.19 trillion, individual income tax, payroll tax, and corporate income tax all saw significant increases.
Yep.
And finally here, Norfolk Southern has agreed to pay $600 million in a class action lawsuit related to an Ohio train derailment in February 2023. The company said Tuesday that the agreement, if approved by the court, will resolve all class action claims within a 20-mile radius from the derailment and personal injury claims within a 10-mile radius from the derailment. I'm going to save this one last little story here about the pork cutout just in case we need something to talk about. Chip?
Okay, very good, very good. Yeah, can you believe that we're finally getting this thing settled on the derailment there in Ohio? But, you know, you kind of got to ask the question, did the derailment actually happen if the president didn't show up to figure out and take it all in? And
burn.
I don't know if it – I think it did. I think it did.
You're
going to
start
that the
first thing, aren't you?
I did. Why not? Why not? I mean, hey, that's the way it is. Davis and I will be right back.
Rodney Elliott farms in South Dakota. He believes the Dairy Checkoff does valuable work with sustainability promotion.
I'm proud of what we do, but I also think if we don't tell our story, somebody else will tell it for us. It's important that we talk about promoting not just the product, but how the product is produced, and the Checkoff is helping us tell that story.
Sharing dairy's sustainability story and building trust. See how your Checkoff is making every drop count at usdairy.com.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that combines precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. The alignment of these brands supports farmers, dealers, and OEMs globally. PTX Trimble and Precision Planting understand the challenges of farming. That's why they designed solutions to help you implement technology and automation on your farm. They knew there was a better way, so they're building it together. With a combined set of products from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble, there are now precision ag technologies to touch all brands, equipment types, and farms. PTX spans the entire crop cycle, from land prep to planting, spraying to harvesting, and each pass in between. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Max Armstrong here. The demand for nitrogen has never been higher. Fortunately, Pivot Bio has transformed the way fertilizer is produced and used by farmers. Unlike synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, the cost of Pivot Bio Proven 40 is every bit as consistent as its performance. And since it's applied in furrow at planting, it's weatherproof.
To learn more, contact Bauer Seeds in service in Durand, Wisconsin. Call 715-577-8541.
Hey. Oh.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Florrick. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning. Hey, Davis.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Hey, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Congratulations to the University of Connecticut. Okay.
Oh yeah, UConn.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. UConn. They won the men's.
They did the thing.
NCAA basketball tournament last night. Okay. Beat Purdue. I know that there's a lot of listeners that are disappointed, and there's a few listeners that I'm sure that are elated that UConn won their sixth national tournament championship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's six. Six.
Now this was.
That's
so
a lot.
So some kind of contest you're talking about?
Yeah, remember brackets and the games and everything?
Oh,
that was all happening. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Bled over into April on the...
Sure did. Always thing. Does. Always does.
How do you like that?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, however, if... as I understand it, the game wasn't even on network TV.
Really?
It was on TNT, I think.
Yeah.
Might have put some sort of a cap on viewership, but okay. I still don't know if they would have, if the men's game would have gotten to the 18.7 million
oh.
that tuned in for the women's championship game between South Carolina and Iowa.
Now, was that one on network TV?
I believe it was, wasn't it?
Do you know?
Or maybe I'm it was sure. just ESPN. I don't know.
Well, there's been a heck of a lot of interest in the women's tourney this year compared to the men's tourney.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is showing up in the numbers.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. 18.7 million. It's got to be a record or something.
I would think. Yeah. I would think. If nothing else, it's a lot.
If you know? Nothing else, it is certainly a lot.
Yeah, I got a question.
Certainly. Yeah.
Are there more pigs or people? More hogs or humans in Iowa? I don't know the answer.
There are more pigs.
That's what I thought. I thought someone had told me that once.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I got news on the pork cutout value. You want to talk about pork a little bit? I'm trying to make the jump from Caitlin Clark
there.
To pork cutout. It's not easy.
It's Caitlin. Not easy.
Segway. Well, okay. So I bring it up.
Okay.
Pork cutout value up $2.58 yesterday. Okay. That's pretty good. That's kind of neat. Fueled by an $11.40 rise in primal bellies.
Okay.
That's a pretty significant rise, although we've seen moves up and down, you know, in specific, you know, picnics or whatever.
Yeah.
So, okay, fine. But the cutout itself, the pork cutout, topped $100 for the first time since September mm-hmm. of last year.
Yep.
And I feel like there's more to unpack there than just, oh boy, $100
yeah.
cutout.
Yeah, we're moving product. There's no question about it. And the demand coming out of Easter for pork mm-hmm. is one thing, but we're also seeing it on the beef side. I mean, we had a huge jump yesterday morning in the heavyweight choice and the heavyweight select, more than $6.50 in the select beef yesterday morning alone. Mm-hmm. It just things. Boy, I can't believe that I'm saying it the way that I'm saying it. But things had gotten too cheap. That's kind of the bottom line.
Okay.
When it comes to product that is moving into the meat case, based on the comparison to the fundamentals, no question. And you know the uncertainty over how consumers were going to react to the confirmation the discovery of the avian influenza in some dairy cattle, the uncertainty over how consumers would react on a food safety front
mm-hmm.
was real and caused some major moves, mostly negative, in the live cattle and the feeder cattle market. Now, both markets are trying to recover some of those losses today, but for the most part, bird flu in the dairy herd has been a negative. Now, there are some updates there that we need to discuss. Sunday mm-hmm. afternoon,
mm-hmm.
The American Association of Bovine Practitioners put out a letter to the industry, to media, that basically said, listen, we're going to have to refer to this now as something different. And they're going to refer to it as bovine influenza A virus, B-I-A-V, which they say more accurately depicts it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the letter, it says, because this infection in cattle is not – the same. Not the same as highly pathogenic avian influenza. After thoughtful consideration and discussion with many experts, the American Association of Bovine Practitioners will now refer to this as BIAV, which more accurately depicts it. So, you know, there's a long list of questions, I think, that is created by the simple by the very simple statement that they made in this letter, because the infection in cattle is not the same as highly path avian influenza. Really? We thought it was the same virus.
Yeah.
Just in a different host. And that different host was showing different symptoms, the different reactions. And instead of dying, like birds die when they get HPAI, the cows get sick. They get treated. They get better. They get back in the herd. And it's that difference that the AABP also said, we believe it is important for the public to understand the difference, to maintain confidence in the safety and accessibility of beef and dairy products for consumers. The importance for the public to understand the difference is paramount in this situation,
yes.
Davis.
Yes.
We cannot all of a sudden get the equivalent of, I think climate change has something to do with the solar eclipse making its way into the beef market. The stupidity of it all cannot, you know, overwhelm the fundamentals and the reality of the beef market. And I think that's what the American Association of Bovine Practitioners are trying to avoid, or trying to help manage in this effort. Now, I don't know what APHIS is going to do. Have you heard any word on that?
I haven't. And it's been quiet for a day or two on all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure. I don't have any fresh insights myself.
So we need to know exactly what APHIS is going to do. I know that Pro Farmer is referring to the bird flu virus in bovine as the bovine influenza A virus, BIAV. So Pro Farmer is going to do that. I just don't know if going forward, if we are going to get, if on the same day, for example, we could get one press release from APHIS that talks about HPAI in a dairy herd, and we could also get a press release from the AABP talking about BAIAV and having it be exactly the same thing in exactly the same herd. So in an effort to contain confusion, I hope they're not adding to it. You see what I'm saying? Davis? May have lost Davis in that communication.
I think we did, but if he was here, I bet he would say, yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, we don't. Thank you. Thank you. We do not want to create any additional confusion with, you know, point, counterpoint, and other issues on exactly what virus has infected a cow herd. So we will continue to try to get updates from the leaders in the industry on exactly what this means and how it will be handled going forward. All right, coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with Jeff Cooper from the Renewable Fuels Association right here on AgriTalk.
When we told growers that Bayer Premium Trifold Herbicide for Corn delivers visibly clean fields for up to 8 weeks, they were a bit skeptical.
We'll see how it works.
So we decided to prove it. We set up cameras in multiple cornfields, treated them with Tri-Volt, and filmed for 24 hours a day. For 8 weeks, we saw a variety of weather conditions, and Tri-Volt worked. See for yourself at TriVoltInAction.com. Tri-Volt is a restricted-use pesticide. Consult your state pesticide regulator for specific restrictions. Read and follow pesticide label directions.
Farmers are the heartbeat of rural America.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in America's farmers and ranchers, focusing on conservation practices and profits for future generations. Today, these funds are at risk.
You're squawking over $20 billion. That USDA program, it's investment into the future for everybody.
If the funding was eliminated, it could hurt farms and families.
Tell Congress, protect this generational investment in the Farm Bill. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Brian.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit OsseoPlastics.com for more information.
Milk markets are lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, May milk down 3 to 1672, June down 13 to 1726, July down 14 to 1773, August milk down 25 at 1798. Live and feeder cattle markets moving higher with the triple-digit gains as the volatility continues in the cash markets and the cattle markets today. Cash and boxed beef prices higher. Also, a lot of short covering leading to the big gains. Hog markets higher due to strength in pork cutout values and expectations of increasing demand. April live cattle up $1.35 to $180.75. April feeder cattle up $1.65 to $240.95. April hogs up 72 cents to $90.47. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving mostly lower. Positive weather for the planting of second crop corn in South America and corn here in the U.S. And also positive weather for the soybean harvest in South America pressuring prices. Wheat markets mostly lower due to strength in the dollar, along with lower MATIF wheat prices. May corn down 5 to 430 and a half. New crop down 5.5 to 467 and a half. May beans down 4.5 to 1177. New crop down 3 to 1181 and a quarter. May soybean meal, though, is higher, up 60 cents to 336.60. Chicago wheat, May and July both down 9 and a quarter. May at 556 and a half. July 571 and a quarter. Minneapolis wheat, May down 4 to 646 and a quarter. With markets, I'm Brian Winnikins.
Get ready to take your corn yields to the max with MX Series Corn by Stein. These one-of-a-kind hybrids are derived from the latest, most superior corn genetics from one of the industry's largest corn breeding programs. MX Series Corn by Stein features short-stature plants with medium to high ear placement, enabling excellent performance in high population environments, ease of harvest, and strong standability. Learn more about our time-tested short-stature corn products at steinseed.com.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. I'd like to say that Davis is out there, but I don't think he is. I think Davis is actually dealing with a very serious power outage down there in KC right now. And hopefully we'll get Davis back before the end of the show, but who knows? Who knows? We'll figure it out as time comes. All right, joining us right now, Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. Jeff, it's great to talk with you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you doing?
Doing just fine, just fine. We keep waiting for, well, we've been waiting since March 1 when we were down at Commodity Classic in Houston together for this the final updates on the GREET model and exactly what it will mean for corn-based ethanol and that product's pathway into sustainable aviation fuel. It seems like there's some movement. They may be starting to drop some hints about what these final changes are going to look like. What are you hearing, Jeff?
Well, Chip, we do think we are going to see something relatively soon. We don't have any confirmation on an exact date. We've seen this rumor out there that maybe by May 15th we'll see this new model, or I'm sorry, April 15th. But we haven't been able to confirm that. All we're hearing is from the administration is something's coming soon. That could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be next month. And it still isn't exactly clear how lower carbon farming practices are going to be integrated into this model. We are hearing some things and, like you said, picking up some hints. But until this model is actually out and available to the public and we're able to kind of pop the hood on it and see what it looks like, it's really hard to speculate on exactly what this is going to mean for corn ethanol.
Well, and Jeff, I think it's important for everybody to understand what the expectations are for corn-based ethanol into the sustainable aviation fuel market. And I don't know if the Reuters report has got those expectations right or not, because it was reported by Reuters at the end of last week that the updated model, quote, won't automatically qualify corn-based ethanol for credits, end quote. Jeff, I don't think anyone really expected that corn-based ethanol was going to get rubber stamped to SAF credits, right?
You're exactly right, Chip, and I'm glad that you appreciate that and that your listeners appreciate that. We were never expecting that even if the Treasury had just used the existing Argonne GREET model, that it was just going to swing the door open and every gallon of corn ethanol being produced today would be qualifying as a sustainable aviation fuel feedstock. That was never our expectation. We've always known that additional steps would need to be taken by corn ethanol producers to get the carbon intensity of their ethanol low enough that it would be an attractive feedstock for SAF and would qualify for the 40B tax credit. So we've always known it's going to take carbon capture and sequestration, or it's going to take partnering with your suppliers, the farmers who are delivering corn on lower carbon farming practices. We've always known it was going to take some additional steps to truly, clear that hurdle to where ethanol would be viewed as a favorable feedstock. So, yeah, I read that Reuters story too, and didn't put much stock in it because I don't think they have it quite right.
Exactly. Okay. I love how you say that. There are going to be steps required needed by corn ethanol producers, which means that there are going to be steps needed by corn producers to help the corn ethanol producers accomplish the goals here, correct?
Well, that's right, Chip. And again, what we're really focused on is getting to the right starting point for carbon intensity with this new model. And then from there, the marketplace and our member companies and the farmers who supply them are going to step in and take over and figure out what they need to do to get that carbon intensity low enough. And in some cases, again, that may be working with farmers to document and report and verify that they are using no-till and cover crops and maybe more efficient lower carbon fertilization practices and technologies. In other cases, it may be adopting carbon capture and sequestration. Yeah. In some cases, it may be doing all of that. And if an ethanol producer is able to stack those things together, those practices together, they could end up with a very, very low carbon ethanol approaching zero in terms of its carbon footprint. That would be, of course, a very attractive feedstock for sustainable aviation fuel.
Right. And theoretically, that's how it turns into a premium product for that corn producer.
In
the sharing of some of the tax credits, production credits that are anticipated to be available to the industry. So
that's right.
Yeah, it does seem to be coming together, but Jeff, at the same time, dang it, I just get this kind of a creepy feeling that the rules around GREET, how do I say this? I get this feeling that GREET is going to be a dynamic document, just kind of constantly changing with the changing wants and needs of the industry. Is that a risk?
Well, I think it is. I think there's, you know, this is the great unknown right now. We really do not know exactly what direction Treasury is planning to go with this. And I will tell you, Chip, one of the biggest questions for my member producers is how is all of this going to be reported and verified, especially when we're talking about farming practices and who is responsible for verification? What does the audit process look like? Is IRS going to be showing up, on the doorstep of an ethanol facility, to verify all this stuff? So even if they come out with a model that does a good job of reflecting modern farming practices, if the process to report and verify and audit those practices is too onerous, this may not work. Farmers and ethanol producers won't go for it if that administrative burden is too great.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And it's just the uncertainty around it. Another thing that concerns me, Jeff, is when I was looking at that Reuters report, if there are as many questions that are generated by that single report, it makes me wonder if there isn't going to be a long list of questions about whether or not the ethanol that is produced right now is on a path to SAF or not.
Right.
It feels like when we get this final adjustment to GREET, there's still going to be questions.
Oh, I think there absolutely will be questions, Chip, but I think you're also speaking to why this, we think the stakes are so high here. This modeling, getting this modeling correct, getting it right, is a key piece of opening the door to that SAF opportunity for corn ethanol and corn farmers, frankly. But it's not the only piece. Like I said, there's the whole verification and monitoring piece. There's the audit piece of this. All of that has got to come together in a hurry, and it's got to come together in the right way for this opportunity to really open itself up to our industry. And that's why I'm not surprised. I wasn't surprised back in March when the administration said, hey, we're not quite ready yet. We've sort of bit off more than we can chew here, and this is going to take a little more time to get figured out. So I wasn't terribly surprised by that. But I do hope, for the sake of the industry, that they get this figured out pretty soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Are you keeping up what's going on with the used cooking oil issues?
We keep an eye on some of that. Yeah, absolutely. Because guess what? It affects what we're doing in the ethanol space as well.
And the SAF. And D6
RIN values and SAF and everything else. So, it's we are paying attention to what's happening there, and it's a little concerning.
They're dirtying up palm oil and importing it into the U.S. to get credits as used cooking oil, even though it's never been used. Is that the bottom line?
Well, there certainly is some evidence, some of it anecdotal, that is what is happening, Chip. And we've always sort of said, hey, if you throw one chicken nugget in a barrel of palm oil, is that whole barrel now a used cooking oil that gets a very low carbon intensity score and looks like this waste feedstock for renewable diesel production? I mean, there's some interesting things happening, I think, in the fats and oils market globally as a result of the boom in renewable diesel. And, we're hopeful that EPA and some of the other agencies are paying close attention to what's happening. Some of these unintended consequences could give the RFS program and the biofuels industry a black eye if we're not careful.
Oh, my gosh. You got that right. You got that. Jeff, all I heard this morning was that there is a meeting will be held this week to discuss the used cooking oil issues. I don't know who's invited. I don't know who's leading this meeting, who's putting it together. All I understand is that there's going to be a meeting. Do you know anything about this meeting?
I don't, Chip. I haven't heard any. We certainly haven't been invited to any meeting to talk about this. But again, it is an issue that should concern everybody in the industry. We need to make sure that the feedstocks we're using for biofuels are what they are, you know, what they claim to be. And otherwise, it could give us all a black eye.
Yeah, these are shenanigans. And when we're talking about the livelihoods and billion-dollar industries, shenanigans are not allowed.
And, well, that's right.
Yeah.
There's just so much at risk financially and economically for everybody involved. We can't afford to let a few bad apples mess this up.
We need to get it figured out now. Yeah. Jeff, great conversation. Thank you, buddy.
All right, Chip, thanks for having me. You have a good one.
You bet. Jeff Cooper, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. We're going to find out. It looks like we might have a Davis available. We'll talk to him next.
You're going to feel a puff of air.
Zhong's Optometry has set their sights on staffing up.
Try the next line. Hey, Kim, can you tell our 2 o'clock we're running 15 behind? Sorry, we're a bit backed up today.
He needs an optometric technician to keep an eye on it all.
Where are the dilation drops?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going abroad for the first time in years. To Spain. So we started using Babbel.
And started learning Spanish fast.
With Babbel, you can start having conversations in another language in just 3 weeks.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind.
In just 3 weeks, we're starting to have conversations in Spanish. Gracias, Babbel.
Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Lowe's knows pros need the right tools for every job. That's why we sell the largest in-store selection of Klein tools anywhere. Find new items like the self-leveling green laser level for just $159.98. Plus, shop the Connect pass-through socket set for $49.98, which you can only find at Lowe's. Shop Klein tools in-store and online today. Because Lowe's knows tools. Lowe's knows pros.
Your gas light's on. We need to fill up.
Gas around here is too expensive.
Don't drive all over searching for the lowest prices. Just download the free Upside app and get cash back for every gallon of gas you buy. I've already made around $200.
You can make that kind of cash back just for buying gas? I'm stopping now to download Upside and fill up my tank. Download the free Upside app to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or e-gift card. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code RADIO for an extra 25 cents per gallon cash back on your first fill up. That's promo code RADIO.
AGCO is proud to launch PTX, a new leading brand that combines precision ag technologies from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble. The alignment of these brands supports farmers, dealers, and OEMs globally. PTX Trimble and Precision Planting understand the challenges of farming. That's why they design solutions to help you implement technology and automation on your farm. They knew there was a better way, so they're building it together. With a combined set of products from Precision Planting and PTX Trimble, there are now precision ag technologies to touch all brands, equipment types, and farms. PTX spans the entire crop cycle, from land prep to planting, spraying to harvesting, and each pass in between. Innovative brands you trust, powerfully simple, seamlessly compatible. PTX. Visit PTXAg.com to learn more.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers: progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender.
Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. It's your pal, Davis Michelson. Jeff Warren joins as well, huh?
Yeah, I'm here, buddy. Yeah, how are you? What
are
happened?
Are you receiving my transmission?
We are. We are receiving, but you sound a little different. You sound good, but you sound a little different. What exactly is going on down there, dude?
It got a little sketchy here in the city of Fountains. I think what we're coming to here is that a transformer blew somewhere on one of the poles here in the neighborhood.
Oh.
I found that out after hearing the loud report of the explosion itself. And then, of course, changing my shorts. And now I'm back here with you. Glad to be here.
I think it's got something to do with climate change.
It's got to be the global warming that ruined the transformer. Am I right?
It's got to be. I mean, first earthquakes, and then and then eclipses of the sun. It's got to be climate change.
Well,
it's all adding up.
Let's talk about that because you and I kind of got started down the rabbit. You're pushing my buttons, Flory. We got started down the rabbit trail. And you mentioned you had seen a television program where someone was blaming the eclipse on climate change.
Yeah. Suggested that there was something to do, that the two were somehow connected. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I would bet that these same people ally themselves with the cow farts are going to destroy the planet crowd.
I would imagine. Yep.
And earlier this week, late last week it must have been, I reported on some scientist who was out there saying that this bovine bird flu is going to be 100 times worse than COVID. Look out, society. Here comes the next black swan.
Yeah.
I feel like that's an awful lot of misinformation swirling around some enormoid issues, bro.
Oh, yeah. And the people that are making the statements like that, Davis, you just wonder what their motivation is.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, if there is no motivation, then you wonder what their tie is to the industry and whether or not there will be any consequences to what they said or say being wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've tried to be so careful here this morning in pointing out that we are still looking at so many questions and we're still trying to figure out exactly what is going on. Even in the renaming of how the virus is referred to by the American Association of Bovine Practitioners, they have decided to go with, instead of HPAI in dairy, the high pathogenic avian influenza, or H5N1, In dairy, they are going with bovine influenza A virus, or BIAV. I get it, because there is a difference. There is a difference in how the host is is reacting to the virus,
mm-hmm.
which means that there is a difference in how the product from those animals, milk and meat, can mm-hmm. be used going forward. They're safe. They are safe through pasteurization and through cooking. The virus dies.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's right.
You know, there are issues that we need to consider. And I understand the need to differentiate. I get that. I just don't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just want to make sure that it's done with clarity, that the differentiation comes with clarity and doesn't add to the confusion of what is already being dealt with. One of the questions that is still out there too is exactly how is the virus spreading? Is it birds that is spreading the virus? Is it mammal to mammal, cow to cow?
Mm-hmm.
Is it spreading on equipment? Have the biosecurity measures that are required, have they been upgraded to account for and to answer some of these questions, to help us answer some of these questions? Have they been upgraded, the biosecurity measures? I don't know. We still a lot of uncertainty out there. But boy, talk about being on high alert, and let's make sure that all the boxes are being checked, all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted in mm-hmm. making sure that everything that can be done is being done to isolate mm-hmm. these outbreaks.
Well, and I do have it here, our own Big Apple Joe Stack, but just a moment ago, check the APHIS website to see if there are any new updates. As I understand it, we've got nothing new right now, so they're trying to get their heads around it as well. Yeah. Hey, moving on, I was looking forward to the conversation with Jeff Cooper. I got to be honest, I missed most of it, trying to, you know, get a clean shorts and everything after the big explosion here. It was very traumatic, Chip.
I get it.
What's your takeaway?
The takeaway is that they have got to get the final adjustments on the GREET model out to the industry so that the next round of questions can be posed and the next round of answers can be given, because to make the assumption that when the final adjustments are made and announced that everybody's going to have a clear understanding of exactly what it means for clearing a path for corn-based ethanol into SAF, that path is not going to be clear. There's still going to be plenty of questions about exactly what it means and how that's going to happen and how these production credits are going to make their way all the way down to the farm gate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just a lot of uncertainty. Dude, I hope they get your transformer fixed.
Well, me too. Me too. I'd like to make some toast.
There you go. There you go. Hopefully we'll have Davis back with us this afternoon. We are going to have a conversation with Matt Trannell from Ever.ag. How is the dairy markets, the milk market, dealing with the HPAI and the uncertainty over food safety? That's going to be one of the conversations we're going to have with Matt this afternoon. And come back tomorrow morning. We've got a Farmer Forum right here on AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Hey guys, it's me, Isabella Gomez, filling in for Smokey Bear, because he's got more to say than just...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Like, if you're outside enjoying a barbecue, don't let a hamburger distract you from fire safety. Make sure you aren't dumping your hot coals or ashes onto the ground, because that could start a wildfire. So take wildfire prevention seriously, and let's save the world one day at a time. Juntos con Smokey Bear, podemos hacerlo. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
do so many dogs suffer from weight issues, skin problems, messy poops, and low energy? It could be the popular dog food you put in their bowl each day.
Cody was sleeping a lot, wasn't playing.
She was very lethargic and not moving around.
Dry kibble just wasn't cutting it.
That's why, after more than 45 years of experience of helping dogs make complete health turnarounds, veterinarian Dr. Marty created Nature's Blend. It's